Welcome to the Local Spotlight Show here at WJBM Studios in Jerseyville, Illinois, the voice of the Tri-Counties. I am Chris Lorton. I am your host today. And my guest, John Williams, former president of Principia College and also a professor of political science at Principia College.
Chris, thank you for having me.
Oh, yeah. My pleasure. My pleasure. We actually go back a little bit.
A little bit. Don't we? Yeah, little bit. Yeah.
I mean, I was never a student of yours.
No.
But I did, you know, I have a fond memory of Principia College. My brother, Matt, who has passed away a few years ago, he was a big Lonesome Dove fan.
I mean, oh my goodness.
Big time.
Okay. All right. Robert Duvall. That's where you're going.
Yes. Robert Duvall was a graduate.
Robert Duvall was one of our great graduates from the college in the 1950s, early 50s. Yes.
Yeah. And you had him back at the school.
Absolutely.
And it was so fun. It was so great. We enjoyed that. We just really enjoyed listening to Robert Duvall.
Yeah. He's always been a great supporter and a great fan of his alma mater.
Yeah. And, I guess, is he still doing movies?
Don't know if he's done one recently. He's getting on up in age. They live out in the horse country of Virginia.
Yeah?
Yes.
How old is Robert Duvall?
Oh, my Lord.
I mean, he's got to be up there.
Yes. Probably wouldn't want to be riding horses roughly out.
He was a good character. He did a lot of different
parts. Just superb actor. Yeah. You know, his first role was in To Kill a Mockingbird.
Was he the young boy, or what was he?
No, he was the older boy that protected the kids.
I see.
I think Boo was his name.
Yeah,
the one that was you first saw when he was standing behind the door. It was like, and the young kids appreciated him very much, and everybody else in town was afraid of him because he didn't speak.
Yeah,
yeah,
and he was in The Godfather, right?
Oh, of course.
I mean, The Godfather. I mean, that was a heck of a part he played.
Oh, absolutely.
And it wasn't a cowboy movie.
No. Yeah. Absolutely.
So I know you're teaching right now. You're
back to teaching.
Did you retire for a little bit?
Nope. I served almost 4 years as president, and then I finally had a sabbatical. So I took a year off doing research and cleaning up after my messes and then back into the classroom.
Okay.
They didn't want me to leave, and I didn't want to leave.
Okay. Now, Principia College, first of all, where did you grow up, John?
I'm from a military family, so I grew up all over the world.
Really?
And when I came to Principia as an undergraduate in the 1970s, it was the first time I'd ever been in the Midwest, ever been in Illinois, ever been in Missouri, yet I'd lived all around the world otherwise.
So you came to Principia as a student?
I did.
Ah, okay.
And did 4 years as a political science major. Even from there, traveled around the world and then went off to get my law degree in Washington, D.C. And I worked for the federal government and then had my own law practice and was eventually lured back to teaching.
I see. Yeah. As far as Principia goes, I know it's Christian science, right?
Right.
Explain to me a little bit about Christian science, and for our listeners, because they know Principia has been here for what? How many years? Since when?
Early 1930s.
Yeah. 1930s. So,
and many people have worked there or have relatives working there.
Oh yeah.
Oh, absolutely.
Oh, yeah. All kinds. Yeah, it's been a real economic boom for the county.
It has one of the largest employers over the years.
And I don't know of another campus that could be as beautiful as Principia with that view.
Well, given that we're in one of the most beautiful spots in the state. Yep.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah. It's nice. So back to Christian science. Kind of explain Christian science to me.
Well, real quick, Christian science is a Christian Bible-based denomination founded by Mary Baker Eddy in the late 1800s. Folks know the textbook we use, Science and Health with Key to the Scriptures. Now, I'm only speaking for myself. I don't represent the church here, and some will scratch their heads and go, oh, no, John, don't say that. But I usually start off by saying, we're the religion that everyone thinks doesn't believe in doctors.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
And that's not true. There's okay. no prohibition from turning to medical care, using medical care. In fact, our insurance policies support Christian Science prayer or medical care, a person's choice. But the idea, I think I'd put it this way, the idea that Jesus could heal sin, sickness, and death without material means, mm-hmm. even without the laying on of hands, that right. by purely knowing God's infinite goodness and our reflection is good. And to think that, could that continue 2 centuries later? And the idea of prayer for healing, just about every denomination does it, mm-hmm. but why not the starting point? And I think that's a simple way that I describe it to my friends and colleagues, that we're trying to return to and be faithful to Jesus's his original message of conquering sin and maybe even conquering death. I know a bit of stretch, but yeah.
And the starting point, you know, you start with Jesus, you know, start with
well, he's the way sure. Faith. Yeah, he's the way sure. If there isn't a better person that's walked this planet and you need right off, golly, what would Jesus have done? You know, right. that sort of thing. Like, what will my parents have said? Those sorts of things. I go, ding. He is the Son of God. He is got one of God's expressions, but we all should be. We all should see each other as God's expression
yes.
on the planet.
Yes. I know times in my life where I've been really close, because I grew up in the Catholic school, private mm-hmm, school. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Well, you know about prayer. The Catholic Church knows about prayer.
Oh, yeah.
Sure.
I know about prayer.
And the power of prayer.
Yeah, power of prayer. I mean, it's something that, but as a 67-year-old, you know, and have grown up mm-hmm. in and out, you can kind of fade away, and then you come back. You have a catastrophe happens, or you have something happens, and all of a sudden, I got to, you know, like you go back, you mm-hmm. know, and mm-hmm. it's mm-hmm. Up and down, it, you know, for a lot of people.
Oh, sure,
you
sure.
know, in and out. But, I've had some, you know, Brendan and I have had some dramatic things happen in our life, and, you know, the faith is the only thing that got us through it. You know?
Absolutely. And I've seen that in my life and my family's life. And I lost my first wife, but in her family, and you know Missy, and in her family, yeah. That and we've had in our families different denominations, religions, and find that there are, particularly in Christianity, there's a like a through line that we can all connect with.
Yes. Yeah. Even more so today.
Well, the need for a through line and a connection, absolutely.
Yeah.
Yes.
But I think also, I mean, this is maybe kind of similar, is that I think years ago, you know, you had the Catholics, you had the Protestants, and you had, you know, I can remember when my brother Jeff was going to get married to Sandy, okay? Mm-hmm. And she was a Catholic, and basically they weren't, you know, like, your mom and dad, you date a Catholic, you're not dating Protestants, you know, you got to date a Catholic. I mean, that's kind
right,
of the right, way they were,
right,
you know,
right. mm-hmm.
and all that is, you know, there's a funny story is Jeff said, you know, he was going to have Mike Berry be in his wedding, like mm-hmm. best man in his wedding. Mm-hmm. And the parents, Sandy's parents said, you know, Jeff, I don't know. My mom and dad aren't for that. And so he said, he got with Eddie and said, Eddie, I hear you have a problem as far as Mike being in the wedding. He goes, yeah. He goes, well, no problem. We just won't get married.
Whoa, okay.
He goes, whoa.
No. Yeah.
So that was always kind of funny. But those days, I think, are past. I think today.
Well, I hope so.
Christianity, I mean, everybody, it doesn't matter where you're, as long as you're a Christian. I mean, that's, you know, that's what counts to Christians, you know, mm-hmm, they don't mm-hmm, care, mm-hmm. which is good.
And, but, you know, I was born in Germany. My father was in the service. He was in the service all the way up through the Vietnam War, but he was a young officer, and we were one of the first occupation families in the that were allowed to go over during the occupation.
Ah.
And so I was born at a small caserne, a military installation. And then did my intermediate schooling in India, where Dad was a military diplomat. And then his final posting was as an advisor during the Vietnam War in Thailand. So I did junior high and high school in Thailand. So
very interesting.
Oh, totally. We can always go and talk about other directions there. But my sense is I have found good people regardless of where they are in the world and what their religion is.
Boy, that's true.
And once you can sort of break through some of those differences, cultural differences and things, it isn't hard. I've got friends all over. I've some of my longest friends, because one of my areas of expertise is Asia and China, and I've taken many of the student trips into China since the early 1990s. I have friends there that have grown up, that their children have grown up to come to the States. They've returned, and you go that God touches all of us no matter where we are. There's no place you can escape from God.
Right.
And God's goodness is in all of us, whether we can see it or whether someone knows it. Mm-hmm. And that has helped me travel. And for the years I've been traveling and the places I travel, particularly in Asia, Central Asia, Southeast Asia, I've never had significant problems.
No. Hey, if you're just joining us, I have John Williams with me, former president of Principia College and also the professor of political science at Principia College. Mm-hmm. Now, speaking of small colleges, I know a lot of the small colleges are kind of going by the wayside. What's happened in colleges and education?
Well, first thing to keep is people stopped having children in 2008. And I'm sort of grumpy there.
Yeah.
Because there is this, it's called the Great Cliff, and it's now reached colleges, and that is a great cliff in the, and it's been moving through the schools. Those in higher education, we've been watching it come closer and closer, and there are just fewer young people, just flat out fewer young people in America. We have zero population growth. We're not replacing our population naturally, which gives rise to all the issues having to do with immigration. I mean, all this that's going on now in American politics is accentuated by the fact that people stopped having children in 2008, basically.
Yeah, and of course, why do they quit having children?
Well, I think part of it, I'm guessing part of it was the economic crisis at the time.
Yeah, couldn't afford it.
That, the stability, a lot of things going on. It's just not, could not afford it. But what's the future going to look like in the world? I don't quite know all those, but we've been watching it come, and it's been fundamental, which means that in effect, there's a smaller market for the supply that's out there. And you know, supply and demand as a businessman. That's the first thing that's been happening. The second is the change in the nature of education, particularly with things like the internet and online. Also, what's been going on with just how young people look at the world, particularly Gen Z, what they want now is what they need.
What is, explain Gen Z. Gen Z. I mean, just so the listeners. For the listeners.
Your kids are in high school or just into college, in the first couple of years of college. I'm not sure what the birth dates would be.
Okay.
But it's this group that's in high school and in college right now.
Okay.
And and if they feel if you've had young people in your family that are a bit older and through other generations, the millennials, and we were part of the greatest the boomer generation. And you can see generational differences. This generation right now, they may seem squirrely to parents and to educators, but they're very focused on. Maybe the future isn't as bright as we had been expecting when we came out of school. But where is our right and our privilege to a better future? Why did, say, the baby boomers or the millennials screw it up for us, mom, dad? And so they are focused on surviving out of college or out of high school. They want to achieve a decent or better than that income. They want to do it now. So I have students who graduate who think they can become vice presidents of companies. Yeah. Well, you got to work your way up here, son.
Right.
But they're also focused on immediate goals. They're smart enough for that immediate goal to want whatever it takes to get that goal. So for an example, if my immediate goal is to be a programmer, why should I waste my time at a liberal arts college or taking courses in general education or really having to develop my writing because I need to do coding? Mm-hmm. Now, you can get that job and you can be a very good coder, and there's a lot of money in that. But is that all you want to be? Do you want to move into management? Do you want to get in to be the next manager of the creative enterprise? Maybe you need a different skill set. If so, then they want to get that skill set. So in a way, the junior college system, which is very responsive to change, they're very responsive to a local community. Mm-hmm. They're responsible to local needs. They will shift their educational deliveries for those needs.
Mm-hmm. We've seen them do it.
Oh, and which makes, well, Lewis and Clark has had an outstanding record for that.
Yeah.
Out in, I've spent some time, I was at a lunch with presidents of community colleges from Western Nebraska. And they offer very different things. Well, what are the needs of Western Nebraska? What's the most, the advances in livestock? What's the advances in equipment technology, electrification, mm-hmm. all those sorts of things. And that's what they're doing. Now, that's not long-term development of country. That's immediate need. And so we have Gen Z that is looking at what is their immediate first goal and what do they need to achieve that? And they get it. And so when you have that view, and most higher education is not nimble at moving to that.
They're not.
They're not. I mean, even the big state universities, it may be smaller state universities and the junior colleges that are most nimble for it, or commercial enterprises. Google badges, for example.
Google badges.
Which is where you can go, in effect, you can go online, do coursework, master your skill, and get a recognition. What would they call badges? It's like certificates. Mm-hmm. You know, a certificate in firefighting or whatever that might be.
I see.
Which means that traditional American higher education is not nimble enough to change for the current market
right.
and the current needs at the same time that the size of the current market is going down. Small, rural, religious-based colleges are getting hit the hardest and the fastest. And we are have been losing about 50 colleges a year for the last decade.
How's Principia survived?
It's on the edge. It will survive. It will survive. Principia was founded by a Christian Scientist in the late 1800s mm-hmm. as a primary school, and it grew up, and as her sons grew up and others were attracted by families of the faith. And it was the only school system and college in the country that had a religious requirement to attend. Now, on the flip side, Christian Scientists have always been welcomed at Notre Dame. They've always been welcomed at Georgetown University. But to go to Principia or to work at Principia, you had to be a member of the Christian Science faith. Now, you can guess there, when we know that church attendance and faith in America has been shrinking. So Principia has been hit by a triple whammy.
Yeah.
And that's the decline of their pool. And in order to survive, during my presidency, the Board of Trustees made the incredible decision to retain the principles of Christian Science, that we view every person as inherently good. Mm-hmm. So when that student walks in, they're not stupid. They're not dumb. We believe they're inherently capable of doing whatever they want to set their mind to.
So you take people that
now,
aren't necessarily Christian Science.
They are not.
Yeah.
We hope we get many of them.
Yeah.
Because we want students who are committed to faith, uh-huh. who are committed to education that has a desire to help the student strengthen their connection with God, however they may define it. Now, they have to be open and supportive of Christian Science, because Christian Scientists still turn to prayer first rather than a doctor.
Mm-hmm.
We still have this view. We don't have the view that man is bad. We don't accept the power of sin. And I'm getting in theological areas, which is not my field, but I would say the thing we love about the Christ is the resurrection, not the crucifixion.
Mm-hmm.
It's the resurrection, the power of faith, life, and what God can lead us to, rather than we're sinners. And so if you walk into a classroom, a quick story, I had a parent, and this is before our change, had a parent call me going, you need to understand my student has a learning challenge. No, he doesn't. Oh, yes, he does. No, he doesn't. Come on. I didn't accuse him of being a bad Christian Scientist or anything like that. I will not accept that. And so when the student came and I made the decision, well, the parents believe that he's got a learning challenge, I'm not going to accept that.
Yeah.
I'm not going to accept it. Now, do I understand what they are? Do I have the training? I do know how to identify dyslexia, this learning challenge, that learning challenge, this autism spectrum. No, I'm no fool. I understand these sorts of things, but I'm not going to let my belief in that limit that person.
Yeah, I like it.
People should, it's not, they used to say, come to our college, you have unlimited opportunities. My slogan was, come to our college because we believe you are unlimited. There's nothing you can't do. And this kid came in, this young fella came in, and I just wouldn't accept it. And I intentionally treated him directly as if he didn't have it. And when he said something wrong, that's wrong.
Uh-huh.
What's the correct thing? Whatever. The end of his sophomore year, he said, I want to study Arabic because I think we're going to need to know Arabic. And I'm going to do it going to Jordan. And I'm going, really? He did it. He did it in 2 years running. He eventually graduated from Principia, and he completed an advanced degree at Harvard University.
Wow.
And you're going to tell me that he's got a learning disability? Well, he may have the evidence of it, but that doesn't mean he's limited.
That's right.
And so if we can find students who are committed to that in whatever their fields they want to go into that we can offer, that recognize that that is just by your nature of your connection with God, those are the students we're looking for. Now, how do you reach those students? We don't know yet. And so trying to make that transition and make those services is part of the challenge that Principia is going under. But I truly believe that there are young people out there that are hungry for a connection with God without people lecturing them, with people saying, yes, you can have it. Why not come to an institution that we want to have high moral standards, no drinking, no sex out of marriage, no drugs, we don't have weapons on campus, a safe place where you're safe, yet you can explore challenging areas. You can go abroad, you can be on rugby, you're not hidden from the world. You
right.
cannot be hidden from the world. We've got to be, what's the line? You've got to be in the world, but not of the world.
I see.
You know, wise as serpents and as loving as doves.
John?
Yeah.
We've come to the end of our time.
Oh, my goodness. Sorry, you've let me talk too long.
We're going to come back.
Okay.
We're going to end this segment.
All right.
And thanks for coming in. I appreciate it.
My privilege, Chris. My privilege. Thank you for letting me.